This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Well, Anthony, here we are in chapter 6, and I have to tell you the truth. I'm actually disappointed that we're getting through to the end of this. I wish there was more chapters of this to go.
And we can dig them up somewhere.
The lost chapters of Ephesians. That would be perfect. That's right. But it's been great.
It has been good.
Materially, just overwhelming.
It covers everything, doesn't it? Yeah. It's all-encompassing. Includes every possible facet of Christian life.
It's just amazing to read this.
It is. From prison.
And to realize how much God and Messiah was working through this man, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never find it in myself to raise a word against this great apostle.
It's
just fantastic.
I'm just overcome with the wisdom and the power of the things that he wrote.
I could spend the rest of my life just trying to get where he was at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly not going to stand in judgment. Mm-hmm. I say that because we have people nowadays, some people don't like Paul.
No.
Well, really?
Yeah, well, right.
you must be reading a different Paul than what we're reading here.
Yeah. No, you don't challenge an apostle. These are the delegates of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And they're scripture. Paul is writing scripture. He realized that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very solemn thing. People are losing their fear of scripture. Their reverence for scripture is very fundamental. Playing chess without the chessboard is a hopeless task.
It's just absurd to me. I think if Jesus was happy to choose this man to do these amazing things, then I'm just completely happy.
Yes.
I'm totally happy. I'm certainly not going to complain about it.
No.
I think, like I say, I could spend a lifetime just trying to catch up to where he was already at.
Yes.
And so I'm certainly not going to fuss at him or fuss about him or anything
not
like that.
At all.
It's amazing. And to me, the proof of it is, the proof of him is this incredible, amazing wisdom.
Absolutely.
Again and again, the wisdom of God is coming at us in these writings.
Even 2,000 years later, with all of our changes in culture.
Absolutely.
It's timeless stuff from the senses. It's always true, isn't it?
That's
as long as this age goes on, these are words of wisdom.
That's right.
Certainly.
Well, verse 1, and actually he's kind of continuing his thought about being subject one to another, and then he's explaining how that subjection would work.
How it would work, yes.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. So this kind of flows out of the discussion he just had about wives and husbands and the incredible dedication and devotion that they should have to one another.
Mm.
And now it flows on down to the children. And then he moves on a bit in verse 5. He said, slaves, because they did have slavery in those times, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
Wow.
Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, nor that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free.
Yes.
Wow. And then he turns to the masters. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening.
Mm.
Know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Whoa. So he's setting these relationship issues in order.
Yes. What a world we'd have if everybody was complying with these good principles.
Wouldn't it be so? And
completely changed.
You know, I think we abhor the idea of slavery.
Yeah.
I think that Paul did abhor it as well, actually.
Oh, sure.
But it was the hand he was dealt. It was the issues of that day.
And yes.
There was Saul could not.
Yes.
Paul could not in himself just wave that away. That would be so even for employers and employees,
yes, of course.
Not purloining from your employer. Be a good employer.
That's right. And that's a form of servant-master relationship, of course. I think we need to say that because people hear the word slavery.
Surely.
And it connotes only a sort of brutal beating the slave.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about that.
No, no. Again, this children obey your parents in the Lord, I think you were mentioning earlier how that what a fundamental that is.
Absolutely.
In the scriptures, and how
Absolutely.
Important or significant.
Yes,
it's in the view of God and the scriptures for children to be dishonorable toward their parents is an awful
it's unthinkable.
Thing. It's inappropriate.
Imagine the power that we human beings have to actually create new beings. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, oh my goodness.
People don't realize this, that you can actually produce a new person. That's an amazing creative power, isn't it, that God has delegated to all human beings? So my commentary here has useful things to say. It says, disobedience to parents in Scripture is a symptom of a state of the gravest evil.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Gravely evil. A society is sick.
Something is terribly wrong.
When the parents are not being obeyed by their children.
And honored and respected, But it's interesting, and it's just like with the husband and wives and how Paul so well flips the issues and said, yes, wives, love your own husbands, and so on. But then he flips it, he says, and husbands, you should be loving your wives with all your heart, never doing anything that would be harmful or injurious to them. Now we have that same kind of looking at the other side of the coin with children. Because he goes on and says, he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't be inappropriate towards your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yeah. Give them this wonderful wisdom of God by which they can live their lives. And it's beautiful stuff. And so then, and again, then in the slavery business, which was there, and I think Paul in another place says, slaves, while you're in that state, do according to your master's will. Treat them right. Treat them well. Don't be stealing from them. And you do well in knowing that if you had a slave who, or if you had a slave whose master was not a Christian, that good person may even win that master to Christ. It'd be a wonderful thing. Yeah.
And also with husbands and wives.
Yes, you know, the wife same principle.
Deal with the husband in a thoughtful way.
So yes.
Yes, we're all trying to win people for the cause of Christ.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, what's the point of life? They're going nowhere.
I do know in another place, Paul mentions about to those who are in a state of slavery in that time. He said, if you can be made free,
then take
do that by all means.
Of course.
Of course. But they were in the Roman Empire, and the circumstances were such that they didn't have opportunities to be made free always, as we are now.
That's exactly
But this is great. So he's giving wonderful advice to those people. Do well. Serve the Lord. And treat everyone well, whether you are a master, a servant, an employer, an employee, a child, a father, and a husband or a wife. Then all are to be honorable toward toward others. Wow. So then we have this amazing run of this that that Paul brings us, and in verse 10 he says, finally, so he's about to conclude, so finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.
Wow.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Yes.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, verse 14, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Mm-hmm. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
for which I am an ambassador in chains, which I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that's tremendous, isn't it?
Tall order, isn't it?
Yes.
It'll take a lot of concentration to get all this done as Paul commands it here.
It's very extraordinary.
Yes.
But I think one thing he's making clear here, he's saying, be strong, not just in yourself exactly, but be strong in the Lord.
Absolutely.
And in the strength of his might,
mm-hmm.
depending on him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And truth is a large part of it. Truth figures in verse 14 there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Your loins are to be girded with truth. The truth versus error. You know, not error. You don't want error in your system.
Well, that's right.
Because it's weakening. It's debilitating. It's making you anemic rather than full of the might of God. So the Spirit of the truth. I like that. John's famous phrase, not just Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's becoming too vague at the end of the New Testament time. There's so many spirits rushing around.
Oh,
we need the Spirit of the truth.
Yes, yes.
And the Word of God, of course, is the gospel of the kingdom in 17. We've already defined that often, which is the sword of the Spirit. I love Word and Spirit go together, by the way. People say, oh, you've got all this academic word stuff now, but where's the Spirit? They go inextricably together.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Really. Spirit words. Mm. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said in John 6:63,
are spirit.
Our spirit. The words that I speak to us. Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah, I love that.
They're spirit vectors.
Yes.
They're carrying spirit.
Yes.
So the words are all important at that juncture.
Yeah,
the mystery
of God. It becomes impossible then to, as I've heard some people say, I love the Spirit.
Yes.
I don't really care that much for the Word or something. Actually,
impossible.
You can't, as we said before, you can't divorce those things. One goes hand in hand with the other.
It must be so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In the mystery of the gospel, make known. That immediately takes us back to the parable of the sower. To you has been made known the gospel of the kingdom. See, people don't recognize the language of Paul might be slightly different. He might not mention the kingdom every time, but you're supposed to know that.
Sure.
The mystery of the gospel is the mystery of the only gospel is the gospel about the kingdom of God.
That's right.
But we're supposed to know that USA means United States of America, not United States.
You don't have to make that clarification every time.
No.
That's right. That's
people don't know that. They don't know what is assumed often by these writers.
I like the he's pointing out too that our fight, our struggle is not just in simple fleshly terms, is it? He's saying that it goes to something on a very higher plane.
Well, that's right. It's not firstly against human beings, but rather against cosmocrats. There's a Greek word here, kosmokratores. We know about democrats, aristocrats.
Right.
These are cosmocrats. Okay. These are the real rulers, the astral deities.
Gotcha.
That's the battle. So any system which says there is no such thing as a supernatural evil dimension of reality is completely at odds in violation of this plain statement.
Yeah, right. It certainly would seem to agree with Paul's view of these things.
These are eternal facts.
Right.
These are the constitution of our universe, right? That we recognize
right.
we're up against spiritual, cosmocratic, the dark empire of evil, as some call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very great reality for Paul.
And that's a fundamental aspect of the Scripture.
Oh, yes.
It's
oh,
unfortunate
yes.
we begin to miss that.
Oh.
And we're missing a large part of the of the picture here.
We're not relating to the Scripture. The Scripture is speaking to us and we're not hearing it because our denominational hang-up has completely blinded us to the point of irreformability sometimes, that we cannot change our minds.
That's right.
That's very bad. It's detrimental to
that's
any
right.
group of Christians.
That's right. We're missing essential information.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For the fight, right?
Yeah,
we're losing
truly.
The battle.
Absolutely.
Caving in.
We're misunderstanding who the battle is against and what it's all about.
And Paul is an ambassador in chains. I like that because the time is coming when the devil's going to be in chains. Guess what? Then the kingdom of God will be operating for that first thousand years, the first stage of the kingdom. The devil is going to be in chains. So the reversal there is striking. Paul's now in chains, right?
That's right.
But the time's come, the devil's going to be chained up, and Paul will be ruling as an immortal ruler in the kingdom.
Yeah. I wonder, it's a marvel to me too, that even though Paul is in chains, he is doing such amazing work in the work of God.
Time to write letters.
Yeah.
Unperturbed.
Yeah.
Sitting there in prison. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I thought, we've had some folks who felt like Paul just messed up. He wasn't supposed to be in this situation. Mm. He wasn't supposed to be in jail. And I really don't see that. I think Paul was on track. And he didn't mess us. Actually, the work and the will of God was accomplished in him in ways that his compatriots couldn't always understand.
That's right.
But would we even have this amazing letter that we call Ephesians if Paul had not been in prison on this occasion? So and some God, of the other writings that
exactly,
are so
well, actually,
wonderful. Yeah.
And Jesus himself, who was killed. I mean, how long did we put up with the Son of God? What, 3.5 years?
Yeah.
What does that say about the evil of our society?
Right.
That we get this protagonist of immortality who's saying, everybody, welcome him. He's got the elixir of life.
That's right.
How to get it.
Everybody's
so what do we do with him? We kill him.
We kill him. That's
what
right.
do we do with this guy? We throw him in prison.
That's right. Yeah.
How bad is this? You know? Right. How tragic humanity is in this respect.
Well, so then we get this beautiful picture that Paul gives us about this armor of God.
Yes.
It's really a military image, isn't it?
Absolutely, to the core.
And so put on the whole armor of God. Shows that Paul was quite well familiar with military people
absolutely.
And what they were doing.
Yeah.
And he's drawing from that and saying, look, we're soldiering too. We're fighting too. We're fighting against these powers, not just against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against the cosmocratic
powers.
Yeah.
It's marvelous.
But in order to fight like that, you've got to be strong, not in yourself. It's got to be a strength that comes beyond, from beyond ourselves.
Oh, sure.
Strong in the Lord. In the Lord, he says. So I like that.
Yeah.
So put on the whole armor of God. So I would think, you know, anyone again, carrying on the military picture here, When a nation, a government, outfits an army, they prepare them. You would think if they're going to give them the appropriate equipment, training. That's right.
Intense training.
Yes.
Navy SEALs. Think of what we do.
Oh
only
my goodness.
The very elect of the elect.
Yes.
Are good enough to be our key fighters.
Right.
How much more then is this going to take work? From the Christian.
Absolutely.
It's not going to happen overnight. People are going to have to dedicate themselves
absolutely.
To Scripture to
absolutely.
Prepare themselves for the battle.
That's right. And but I like this. We need to put on what God is furnishing to his people.
Yes.
And he describes it as a suit of armor, a protective gear and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on then, so that you can stand, withstand in the evil. When the tough time comes, you'll be well outfitted and be able to stand up to the adversary. Mm-hmm. If anybody knew about that sort of thing, it would have been Paul, I think.
I would think so.
Yeah, yes. For goodness sakes.
Yes.
He was in the midst of just such battles and struggles, wasn't he?
Yes.
But did wonderfully.
Yes.
Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth.
Yeah.
So, what is it? The belt of truth is then a part of not just something we have to do with, but it's a part of the armor of God. It's part of God's appropriation
right.
to us. And,
yes.
And put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness, even by the gospel of peace.
Yes.
In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your protection on all sides,
all sides
a shield of faith.
Yes.
With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't say you're not going to have those flaming darts, but if you have the shield of faith, you can you can deflect those darts. You
that's
can,
right.
Extinguish them.
Mm-hmm.
And take the helmet of salvation.
Your head.
And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
That's the, as has been pointed out, the aggressive the others are defensive things. You put on helmets and so on.
Right.
Here you go out with your sword, which is the gospel of the kingdom, effectively.
Wonderful.
And also in verse 15, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's a direct quotation from Isaiah 52:7, which is straight kingdom of God stuff. So the kingdom of God is always lurking behind the gospel phrase. We just don't know that because we're not searching the origin of these phrases in Isaiah very often.
Pure
gospel stuff. Always the gospel of the coming kingdom of God and how we have to prepare for that now.
I love this too, Anthony. In verse 18, he goes on to say, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So it's not, we can't be high-minded or too self-reliant.
Not at all.
Paul is, he's saying, put on this armor, which includes a belt of truth and all these wonderful things, and the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Take all this on you. But pray.
Still have to pray.
Isn't that interesting?
In addition to all that.
Don't just say, okay, I've got it all covered now. I'm going to go out and defeat the enemy. But instead, our reliance should be on God and on Jesus.
All sorts of petitions, and, all types of prayer.
That's
accessory
right.
prayer is very important for Paul.
So praying at all times.
Yes, my goodness.
It's
all order, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not part-time stuff.
Yeah.
This is whole-time Christianity.
Very serious business.
Serious business.
He wants you then, in that same verse, to that end, keep alert.
Mm-hmm.
With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
Wow.
And also for me. Pray for me, too. Isn't that nice?
Impressive.
He gets around to that. Isn't it wonderful?
Amazing.
What does he want to do? He doesn't even pray. Pray for me that I'll get out of this prison. As I said earlier, I think it would be me. I would be a pretty sad case. Pray for me that I'll get out of here. Mm. But pray, Paul says, pray for me that words may be given to me. And opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel.
You think he was pretty good at that anyway.
Yes, he was. And yet he wants the prayer of the saints with him.
He's dependent on God and Jesus.
Isn't that wonderful?
Even an apostle.
Yeah.
Especially an apostle, perhaps, has to be.
Yes, certainly.
Yes.
So I love that. So, and he says, I am an ambassador in chains that I may declare it, the mystery of the gospel.
As I ought to, yes. Ambassador is important.
As I ought to.
That's it. Applies to all of us. We have to be acceptable in all cultures, being all things to all men. That takes some adaptability.
That's right.
It takes some adaptability, not just Americans to Americans, but we have to be available across the world, speak to everybody.
Yes.
Especially
in
the days of internet, where this whole thing has taken proportions that Paul wouldn't have imagined.
Yes.
He had to traipse up and down roads without cars.
That's right. That's right.
To cover a certain area. Now we can do it by machinery in a way
it's
that's
amazing,
unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's interesting how that we may, in a day, take Paul's words into Ephesians and get those words to more people than Paul did in his lifetime.
Isn't that amazing?
It's an interesting thing.
I think has something to do with the greater works that Jesus said that people sometimes think they're going to raise more dead, greater works than Jesus, but Jesus never went out of Palestine, Israel, never wrote any books.
That's
really.
Right, that's right.
Did the key work, obviously, but now we're doing it through a huge amplifier, which is internet, cameras, and so on.
It's exciting.
Okay. It's very exciting because it has a permanence now. We don't have to reinvent the wheel every generation. So
that's right, that's true.
What is good in what we've done will continue. What is not so good, it'll be discarded, we hope.
Yes.
But we're
that's
making
right.
contributions
and,
to Paul here.
At least we can feel like we've done what we could.
Yes. We've done something for the cause, I hope.
That's right.
Yeah.
Something that will be helpful.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. So we're nearly at the end of this wonderful epistle.
Well, we are.
Yes.
In fact, what remains, I guess, are his final comments and
domestic details. Family affairs.
His last words to them.
Very personal.
So verse 21, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing.
How I'm doing.
How I'm doing.
Yes, well, not too well in prison.
And what I'm doing.
I suppose.
Tychicus,
yeah,
the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. So he can bring them details and how it's going with Paul.
The latest news.
Yes. Verse 22, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts.
Yes, strengthen your hearts.
Oh, I just can't get over this man, Paul. He was always thinking about the people.
That's right.
Always thinking about others.
And the detail, too, right?
Yes,
very,
yes.
Very specific, you know.
Yes.
You to be sure, you're being encouraged.
I think this is interesting, too. Paul doesn't just assume that the people out there will somehow, by spirit, just know how he's doing.
No.
He doesn't assume that they'll have some just almost... You know,
that's right.
Spiritual ex-
that's right.
Knowing. It's not like that.
No.
It's more direct and more real than that. He assumes they won't know.
That's
And he's sending this dear brother to them, so he can inform them and how it's going with Paul.
That is interesting. Well, sometimes I think people think if we just had apostles, you know, miracles every day.
Mm.
Although Paul went on Malta and healed all the sick, that is remarkable.
Yeah.
But life still goes on. You
Surely.
Know, the day-to-day trivia of life are still very real for all of us.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he spoke in one place about that you may know how it's going with me.
Yes.
But I want to know how it's going with you.
Yes.
He's an apostle, and yet he doesn't know without information.
Right. Of course.
I think that's interesting.
Very real, isn't it?
And the information, of course, that he received from Corinth by the from the folks of the one household over there in the early...
Not such good news.
He didn't, presumably, he didn't know until he's informed.
No.
So I think we get this wrong picture.
Yep.
That we're supposed to just have this spiritual experience ongoing.
Mm.
We know anything and everything about all things.
Not right.
If so, we would be ahead of the apostles and others.
We've idealized these people, actually.
Yeah.
We've put an aura of non-humanity over Paul.
Right.
They were real people. They got up in the morning like we do.
Absolutely.
Yes, they had a miraculous... element, dimension
Certainly.
In their life, which I don't get up and raise the dead.
True.
God can do all of that, but God can choose to work in different ways at different times.
Surely. And so I just think it's interesting then. Paul wants them to know, and he doesn't say, so pray, so God will tell you how I'm
That's
doing.
That's right.
He says, I'm going to send practical. This dear brother.
Very practical and very real.
Surely.
And that's right.
Verse 23, then, and he is really about to conclude now. He says, peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful?
He's defining God and Jesus.
Here
he began by that.
That's right.
Yes.
He's
Isn't that amazing?
Up. He's come full circle, hasn't he?
Right.
I love that.
And the Lord Messiah, Jesus, we have to remind people.
Yes.
That's Luke 2:11. The Lord Messiah was born. God is not born in the Bible. Let's be clear. Cannot be born. Cannot die. So this is the Lord Messiah, Luke 2:11. And he's also the Lord's Messiah in Luke 2:26.
Okay.
See, all of this easy stuff was laid out page after page after page, and we've got it all confused. The principal players in the plot here have been terribly confused. When you talk of two who are God, that's not right.
Church,
only one is God.
Church tradition has done a number on
it's,
folks.
It's made it very hard for people to make sense of the plot
very
in a clear messianic first century.
And as you say, if we don't have a sense of that plot and we don't understand it, then it's difficult to follow, and it's difficult to have an energetic faith. It's difficult to have an energetic faith in these things.
People who say, you know, I find Bible, you hear this, I find my Bible reading so difficult. You know, I sit down in the evening, I'm supposed to read my daily portion, and I fall asleep. I hear that. And I don't think you understand the story. If you understood the story, you couldn't put the book down.
Right.
So try sometime really understanding the story, see how you fit it in the story.
Surely.
And you will find the book absolutely gripping. You'll sit down and read half of Isaiah in a sitting. You can't put it down.
That's right.
Now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere.
Well, and if you feel like, hey, I need some direction and help, then take in this video commentary that we're doing here.
Another thing.
Follow it through.
Sure.
Now that we're at the conclusion of this, I encourage our viewers, go back to chapter 1, verse 1 in Ephesians, read it again.
That's right.
And make notes and follow through and then read it again.
Yes.
Let it come to really reside.
Takes some work, though.
Yes,
it takes some work,
It takes
not that we're giving the last word. We're making a contribution to commentary.
Surely.
We're not saying this is the last word.
That's right.
Or you mustn't listen to anybody. That's absolutely foolish. But hopefully our own experience over 50 years, some cases here, own case, your case, many, many years longer, since early childhood, we're making a contribution to making sense of the plot.
That's right.
Which is more remarkable than anything I ever learned in the Church of England, actually. Yeah. I didn't understand it well in those days.
So for our viewers, we're not really doing this for our benefit. We're doing it so that they might gain insight and understanding and appreciation of the Scriptures and then put that in motion in their lives.
That's right.
Their faith would be encouraged and strengthened.
Yeah.
And you would begin to, you know, you can read the book of Ephesians with understanding and appreciation and gain from it. So
Paul did then repeat our major point that there's only one God, that's the Father. And then there's our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and our Yahweh is impossible.
Right.
When we have the Lord in the New Testament, it's very often the Lord Jesus. That's a key. Mm-hmm. People say, well, the word Lord, it's ambiguous, I don't know what it is. In some cases, it doesn't matter because God and Jesus are working in concert anyway. But the Lord, with the article, is very often not Yahweh, because Yahweh doesn't have, it's not the Yahweh, it's not my Yahweh, and it's not our Yahweh, but it is my Lord Jesus, our Lord David. It's a messianic title.
Yes, yes.
That's a very clear distinction, which was, it didn't have to be argued to the first century readers.
Yes.
That was self-evident that there weren't two gods.
That's right.
But once you say Jesus is God, you're implying two gods, because we all know the Father is God. If we say Jesus is also God, whoa, wait a minute, what are we saying here? That sounds awfully like two Yahwehs. Yeah. We don't want to go there.
Now we've entered into a world of utter confusion and contradiction.
Yeah.
It's a strange business.
Back to Psalm 110:1, right? We'll leave our listeners with that.
That's right.
Work on that Psalm 110:1. Right. Figure it out. Look at the Hebrew. Talk to your experts. Search that out.
And realize again and again and again how our New Testament writers are incorporating the principles and even the words of Psalm 110:1.
It's key.
Into their writings.
It's brilliant. So John 3:16, par excellence,
is
that 110th Psalm, this one. Marvelous.
So actually, then, this is a way to mature and grow. Paul is encouraging the people, the Ephesians, to mature and grow up in Christ.
Yes.
We can do that as Christians.
We can do it. I think both of us have had experience of other systems which have not worked well.
I mean,
we don't need to rehearse our whole life story here in any sense. But I know of theological systems in which I operated for some years which didn't work.
That's right.
It was destroying me.
Very.
I didn't know why. It seemed it ought to work.
Yeah.
But we were very much misled in some very fundamental areas of defining God, defining Jesus, defining the law correctly. And didn't work.
Yes.
This system works a lot better.
The
health giving.
Absolutely.
Even.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Sound.
I love this, the one God. I love this one Lord, Messiah, Jesus. I think that's great.
Think of the Jews and the Muslims who could be attracted to Christ.
Oh, my lad, yes.
Who are now completely antagonized by the idea that Jesus is God. Sure. Well, that means Jesus is Yahweh. That he pre-exists. What does that even mean? How do you pre-exist yourself?
Yeah.
Did Mary take in a baby from outside?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And how would we give answer to Messiah in the Day of Judgment when we are perhaps required to give an account? Why did we do these things that hindered others so much?
Yes.
Why would we do that?
Right.
As Christians, we've got to grow up and outgrow our own traditions enough to re-embrace the Scriptures and the reality of the one true God and His Messiah, Jesus.
And those of us who teach, I think, need to be very constantly aware of James 3:1. Don't be too many of you teachers, because you know, we want to get this right. We don't want to go on air even broadcasting.
That's right.
Stuff that is false.
That's right.
Heaven forbid! I'd rather be silenced.
That's right.
Than do that.
Better to say nothing.
Say nothing.
That's right.
So we're trying to get this right.
Well, let me read the last phrases again then. This is so beautiful. What a wonderful ending. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible.
My goodness, it's amazing. Incorruptible.
I love that. It's beautiful.
Love that cannot die. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think we've seen this book. It's the writing here is something greater than ourselves, isn't it? It's just wonderful. Yeah,
it is. It's
something to hear, listen, aspire to, and grow by.
Yes,
it's wonderful
indeed. Yeah. So. parallel to this would be Colossians. Maybe on another occasion we could...
I think so, yeah.
...make our way through the book of Colossians. Many parallels here.
I would enjoy
additional things. That would
give us an opportunity to point out some of the parallels.
Absolutely, nice, yes. And some new things, too.